Now, lately it seems that everybody has an opinion on how to deal with the problems facing Africa. Poverty, disease and political turmoil, they're all pitching in. But how many people have solutions that have been proven to actually work? Dr. Wangari Maathai, she's a Nobel Peace Prize winning activist and founder of the Green Belt Movement, which basically taught women how to plant plenty of trees all over Kenya. Now, she chose to focus on deforestation in Africa. She studied in Kenya, and you could say that she was a green, she studied a green revolution, and she was the commander of that revolution. I want you to have a listen to Dr. Maathai taking on the authorities in Kenya. She's fierce.
We want honesty. We want justice. If you're going to shed blood because of our land, we will. We are used to that. Our forefathers shed blood for our land. We will do so. This is my blood.
Good morning, Dr. Troublemaker. Take us back to that scene. When was it? Where was it? What was happening?
Well, that scene was, for me, that scene was at Karura Forest. For those who know Nairobi, it's a forest that kind of encircles Nairobi, or forms a semicircle around Nairobi. And it's a very old forest. It was a forest that always separated the savannas from the highlands. And it is a very, very important part of Nairobi, partly because it is the carbon sink for Nairobi. It freshens the air of Nairobi. It's a very important part of a clean and healthy environment for Nairobians.
Now, anybody who's African or who knows anything about Africa will know you because you were the first Nobel laureate from the African continent, the first female Nobel laureate. So you're extremely famous. But there are people out there who don't know your work. And a good introduction is a film that's coming out on PBS, and that's on April the 14th. It's called Taking Root, The Vision of Wangari Maathai, a documentary that premieres next week. How long did it actually take you to film that documentary?
Well, I want to pay a tribute to Alan and Lisa, a couple from Vermont, who actually tried very, very hard to capture the story for almost 5 years. They started before the prize and had to start all over again over the prize. So they really paid a lot of attention to the story and tried to understand the story behind the story. And I therefore think that they have done justice, and will help people to understand the many challenges that people face in Africa.
I just want to emphasize that you are a huge celebrity, and you get followed around all over the world, and people come up to you and hug you. Ibrahim was just shaking your hand; he was really honored to actually meet you. How does it feel then to take all of that adoration on and then see it in a documentary? How comfortable were you with what they put together?
Well, I'm quite comfortable to talk about my experiences and to narrate the story. But sometimes it's uncomfortable looking at a film and looking at myself. That I'm not used to.
You also have a book out, so you're seriously doing some branding here. Your book is called The Challenge for Africa. Now, as I was talking about a little bit earlier on, a lot of people are talking about Africa. How do we fix Africa? What is different about your angle that you're taking?
I have a special angle because, first of all, I'm an African, and I have been in Africa working at the grassroots level, working with the people, trying to face these challenges. And the book is a reflection of how I have tried to understand these challenges and deal with them, and to a certain extent offer suggestions on what I think we should be doing in order to help Africa get out of the stereotype that we now have in the world of poverty, underdevelopment, and such.
Well, I've got the book here, and it's, let me just go through it, because I was reading it just the other day. It is, how many pages are we looking at? Over 300 pages long. So it's going to be mean of me to ask you to be as specific about challenges, because everybody talks about challenges, African solutions for African problems, blah, 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 blah. Be a little bit more specific. Where do you think that Africans can actually fix Africa?
Well, some of the issues that I raise that are usually not discussed are the issue of tribe, which in this book I refer to as micronationality. And the idea is we need to recognize that we are micronations. The tribes, what we refer to as tribes, are micronations, that we need to accept each other. We need to understand each other, that we are not one, we cannot melt overnight, but we need to embrace each other and then work towards accepting that we have to create a state. We need to accept that the states we now have are superficial state created by superpowers about 100 years ago, no negotiations by the African people, and part of the problems that we are still dealing with is because of that superficiality of the state and the fact that we see ourselves as micronations, so that our loyalty is often towards that micronation rather than to the big nation. That's one issue I deal with that I think is new and is often overlooked. The other issue that I raise is the issue of culture. And I say, is culture the missing link? Because Africans, when they were colonized, some of them were really brutally colonized. Their culture was destroyed. It was trivialized. It was demonized. And as a result, they come out of that experience cultureless, without values of their own, without traditional knowledge that they can reflect on.
And Dr. Mathai, you describe culture as being wisdom. So culture is more than just your food, your music, your dancing. It's wisdom. Let me just get onto your book in terms of a more practical sense of your book. I'm feeling it here and I'm looking at it and it looks like it's recycled paper.
Precisely. Of course, because we are environmentalists, we also embrace the concept of reuse, reduce, recycle. So we are very conscious of the fact that we want to protect the environment. We want to especially to protect the trees. So we asked our publisher, Pantheon, if they could come up with the recycled paper, and they did. Thank you very much.
Now, it's all about you in the next couple of weeks. We've got April the 14th, which is when your documentary, Taking Root, The Vision of Wangari Maathai, is out. That's all about your background, your history. Your book is coming out on April the 14th as well. Do you feel this pressure to keep producing material all of the time?
Well, I think in many ways this is a wonderful coincidence because the two
really?
Projects... Yeah, the
no.
two projects we're running, is the truth.
Yeah, you're pulling they my leg.
Not at all. The two projects were running parallel. As I say, the film has been going on for the last 5 years, and it just happened that the film was ready, the book was ready, and both of them came out at about the same time. And so I came here to the United States in order to participate in the launching and to encourage people to read, because I do think that people who want to understand Africa, who want to understand some of the challenges that we are facing, who think they can help us, need to read this book.
Oh, that's a pitch and a half. We do have one question in from a listener. It's from Afemi in Brooklyn, and she asks you, Dr. Mathai, will you adopt her?
Well, I guess we need to talk about that.
I know adoptions are banned for foreigners in Malawi, but perhaps in Kenya they will still adopt a 47-year-old.
Well, in Kenya we do, and we'd love to adopt you, Femi. Come with me today.
I'll see you in Nairobi. Dr. Wangari Maathai, Nobel Peace Prize winner, the author of a new book, The Challenge for Africa.